Blog Talk Radio.
For tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. This evening, we're in Long Island, New York, with one of our favorites, Pastor Dawn Mixon. Amen. Looking forward to what God has placed on her heart. Amen, amen, amen. For those of you who are tuning in by internet, you can call in and you can participate in this discussion. We are an interactive Bible study, and whenever Pastor Dawn opens up the mic, you have an opportunity to ask a question or to share what God has laid on your heart. And if you are not able to do that and you would like to hear this message again, you can go to the archives on Blog Talk Radio. You would type in, go into New Beginnings Ministries, and then type in We Can Begin Again. And once you pull that up, you will have access to the archives, and you can listen to this message again. Maybe even bless one of your friends or even your family. We're moving on over to Long Island, New York. Pastor, are you there?
I pray all is well with everyone on today.
Amen. Amen.
We're grateful to God for all of you who are on the line. We pray that someone would call somebody, let them know that we are here and we are going to have a wonderful Bible study on today. I ask that you pray for me on tonight. I'm not feeling the best in my body, but I wanted to share with you on tonight. Here in the New York area, we are being hit with storm after storm, and we ask that you continue to pray for our area as we are dealing with the weather as the nor'easters come left and right. I believe this is our fourth one within a three-week or two-week period, and so we are looking spring to spring forth. Amen, not only in the natural, but also to have it spring forth in the spirit. And so, again, please call someone, let them know, give them the number, share this with someone, share this with somebody, and let them know that we're on the line. We have a good message on tonight. But before we do go into our message, we want to ask God's blessing over this word and over the hearers of this word, that we not only be hearers of the word, but we become doers of the word. So our Father and our God, we thank you. On this evening, we thank you, God, for this time of refreshing. We thank you for your word that goes forth with power and anointing. God, we ask tonight that those who are hearers of the word will also become doers of the word and let them know that they have authority over the wiles of the enemy, and we have authority over the things that try to destroy us. But God, we know that you are able, because with you there is nothing impossible. And so I pray, O God, that you would ignite the saints of God, ignite the power of God in them, that they will understand how great they really are in you. And so, God, we know that everything that we do is to glorify your name. Everything that we go through is to glorify your name. And so we give you thanks and we give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. We're going to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. And we're going to start here at the first verse. It's a familiar passage of scripture that we have. At some point in time, we may have heard of it. But I want to read this to you, and I want to also bring light to it because it's something that we as not only believers deal with, but we as people in general deal with. We're going to verse 1, and it reads, "Then was Jesus led up to the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a peninsula of the temple. And he saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then Jesus saith unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Our subject on tonight is overcoming the tempter. When we deal with temptation, when we look at the word temptation, or we look at the word tempt, to be tempted, it simply means to be enticed or allured to doing something often regarded as unwise, wrong, or immoral. Now, I have to let us understand something. Temptation comes into the life of all of us. Whether we are believers or not, it is a tool that is used often when one is in a weak state in mind or physical strength. So we've got to realize that all of us have been tempted in some way or another in our life's journey. We make bad decisions based on what we have been tempted with. When I look at this particular text, even it starts right off in the first text, part of the text, first couple of verses, the Bible says that Jesus had fasted by this time 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible shows reference of him being hungry. And so when the tempter comes, when he goes up to be tempted of the devil, the first thing the enemy attacks is the thing that is where is he's most weak at. He's hungry, and the first thing he says to him, if you're hungry, he says, listen, if you be the Son of God, then take these stones and turn them into bread. Well, the enemy will never try to tempt you with something that you don't have a desire for at that moment. So oftentimes when we are dealing with things in our life, we must recognize and understand that the enemy is not going to tempt you with something that you're not craving for. If you're not one who likes peanut butter, the enemy is not going to come with you with peanut butter bars and peanut butter this and peanut butter and jelly. He's not going to come to you with that type of temptation because it will have no effect. But when you are in a place where you are craving certain things and certain things that you want, we've got to realize that that's where the enemy tries to strike, because he can't strike any other area, because he strikes where, first of all, we are weak in our minds, and where we are weak in our physical bodies. And so that is his way of, as the definition says, of being tempted. It is to entice or to allure. And most of the time when it's being done, it's something that is unwise and it's wrong. All right? So I want to deal with this for a little bit, for a minute, because a lot of times we do things based on our feelings. And I try to get people to understand we cannot make decisions based on our feelings alone. We've got to make sure that whatever we do, that we have to know that it is something that is in the will of God for our life. And a lot of times, as believers, this is the good thing that we have as believers. We consult God in prayer concerning what is going on in our lives. See, because we got to know if it's our flesh talking or if this is really something, the path that God wants us to walk in. And when we get to the place in God, when we consult God about all things that we do, It makes life a little bit easier for us. Notice that when the tempter came to Jesus and he says to him, if you be the Son of God, turn these bread, turn these stones and make them bread. But Jesus doesn't leave it like that. Even though he is hungry, even though he has been fasting for 40 days, fasting for 40 nights, he answers him by saying, it is written that man shall not live on bread, by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. See, this is important for us to understand as people in Christendom. We have to understand that what God says and what comes out of the mouth of God gives us direction for our life. So I can't make decisions based on what I feel. I have to make decisions based on the godly knowledge that I know. Now, why do you say that, Pastor Dawn? Because we live in a world who says that if it feels right, then mostly you need to do that. And people say stuff like, follow your heart. Well, I've got concerns of the heart because sometimes everything that is in my heart is not pure. Everything that's in my heart may not be something that follows Christ. So therefore, we can't always follow our heart because sometimes the heart can deceive you because we're basing whatever we pour into ourselves, that is what's coming out of the heart. And so we've got to understand that we're in a generation of I'm going to do me. I often say this to you online. I'm going to do me. Well, what we do when we do us is that we do things based on our feelings. Well, if some of you would just take the moment to think about what you're doing when we do us and we do things based on our feelings, what happens? We've made a lot of bad decisions in our life based on how we felt. We made a lot of decisions in our life that hurt us in the longevity of our life because we felt it was good. I'm here to let you know, people of God, that everything that feels good is not necessarily good for you. I'm going to say that again. Y'all need to write that down. Everything that feels good to you does not necessarily mean it's for you. And so when I base my feelings or make decisions in my life based on feelings, I make a lot of bad decisions because it seems good. It seems good. It seems like the right decision. And I was sharing with a friend of mine on today a lot of things that we've done in our life based on our right now. Because we don't look at our tomorrow. We deal with our today. And at the moment, it felt right. At the moment, it seemed like the right thing to do, but we've got to take some time to sit back and say, okay, wait a minute, before I make this step, before I go forward, before I do anything, let me find out what the word of the Lord says concerning this thing before I make that step, especially when you're dealing with things that is going that you're going to have to face later on in life. Now, those who are back in the world, back in the day before you knew God, you've got decisions that you've made back in the world, back in the club, back in the time where you've had relationships with different ones, you made decisions based on your feelings at the time. And now we are dealing with the repercussions of what we've done back in 1985. But look at it. My feelings that I felt in the moment in 85 are still showing up in 2018. Why is that? Because we dealt with things on our feelings, making bad judgments, unwise decisions, because we were tempted and we were allured by what we saw. Oh, my God. You've got to realize sometimes that everything that glitters is not gold. And so you've got to realize there's fool's gold, as they say out there. It looks like gold. Sometimes it may even feel like gold, but it is not the material that gold is made out of. And we find out, we think that we have a precious jewel, we have a precious item, when the truth of the matter is we have been deceived. We've got to let the enemy know, I know your works, I know where you're coming from, because if you're coming to me this easy with temptation, I've got to check it out. No, it's just too easy. This is just too wonderful. I need to sit back and consult God concerning exactly what is going on here. So the Bible says, let's go back to the word of the Lord. The Bible says that then the devil takes him up into a holy city and sets him on a peninsula of the temple. And he said unto him, this is verse 6, if thou be the Son of God. Now watch this. You already know who I am. You know who I am. You know I am the Son of God. You're addressing me as a, and then you want to bring it in the form of a question. So you already know what I'm capable of doing. Watch this. The Bible says, if you are the Son of God, cast thyself down. For, watch this now, for all of you who don't think that the enemy knows scripture, it shows us right here in verse 6, and it says, now this is the enemy talking. This is the tempter talking. For it is written, he knows that God, he knows that Jesus is going to come back with whatever the Lord says. Mm-hmm. Because here in the whole entire text that we're dealing with in these verses, Jesus always comes back with whatever God is saying. He always comes back with the word of the Lord. He says everything that proceedeth out of the word of the Lord. That's what we come with. And so here he says, okay, well, you want to use scripture? Well, let's use scripture. For is it written, he shall give his angels charge over thee, concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thy dash thy foot against the stone. Let me tell you something. That's why it's important for us to know more than one verse. That's important for us to know more than one verse. Jesus said to him, it is written again, okay? This is not the only word that the Lord says. That's why we've got to understand God has given us multiple things that we can glean from in his word that will fit our situation. Jesus says, listen, it is also written again. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Mm. So you've got to understand, yes, what you say is true. What you say, Mr. Tempter, is true. What you're saying, devil, is true. But what you're using it for is not to benefit what God has for me.
That's
this
good.
Now, the scripture is very true. Now, he can speak truth, but he can't live truth. Y'all, oh my God.
That's
the devil
good.
Can speak the truth, but he cannot live 1 ounce of it. He knows what truth is. And he's going to give truth to you and twist it to make it. That's why we've got so many people out here in the world who won't even come into the house of God, because now they have taken the scripture of the purity of the scripture of God and they have twisted it to work in their favor. And so when it works in their favor, it works in their feelings and not in their godly knowledge. Okay?
Well,
let's get an understanding. There's a difference between my feelings and what God said is wrong. You got to know what's in your knower and not what's in your feelings, because your feelings will always take you down the wrong path. All right?
Yeah.
Because you've got to understand your feelings are intertwined in your flesh. And if my feelings are intertwined in my flesh, the Bible says, it is written, there is no good thing that is in my flesh. All right? So I can't consult my flesh concerning my feelings. I've got to consult God concerning my feelings, because my flesh is always going to allure me, is always going to direct me, is always going to use some type of immoral thing to take me down the wrong path. Okay, people of God, know this, that it is important to fill yourself up with the word of the Lord. It is also important to fill yourself up with the Spirit of God in your life. Why is it important? Because when temptation shows up, okay, when temptation shows up, then you have a better understanding of what I am supposed to do as a child of God and what I'm not supposed to do. I think when we get a little bit older, we get a little more cautious about the things that we do. We don't move as quickly, not because we're physically unable, but sometimes we move a little slower about our decisions that we make based on the experiences that we've had. When you've been burnt so many times, you're not going to quick down that same path that you went before because you remember. And when you remember, that's why the Bible lets us know he calls the young because they're strong, but he calls the old because they know the way. They've been here before. They've been here for quite some time. And because I've been here quite some time now, my decisions that I made as a 19-year-old is not the same decisions I'm going to make as a 48-year-old. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I've got an understanding that my experiences that I've gone through in my life cause decisions that I've made based on my feelings and not on what God said, not based on what proceeded out of the mouth of God, caused tragic situations that came in my life that I could not alter. I had to live through it. Y'all hear me? And so you got to understand, if there are any young people on the phone, you need to sit down at the feet of someone who has experienced some things in life that can keep you from and help you avoid some of the temptations that are going to come to you. All right? So here's the enemy. He's something because when you're bold enough, this happened way back in the Garden of Eden where he tempted the woman. That's one thing. So now where he blocked us from receiving what we were supposed to have, eternal life, here again, he's still trying to stop the progress of what God has already decided. Now, it may have worked in the garden. Because the woman was one who was enticed and also spoke to her husband. All right, I'm not going to go in whose fault it is, whose fault it ain't. All I know is we're in a situation whose fault it is. We are where we are. Now it is up to each man and each woman to get themselves in a place where they're back in connection with God. I ain't got time to fight over who did what or what they did. My situation right now is how do I get back to God? All right? And so when I look at this, he had the nerve to tempt God's creation, man, and then here he comes trying to re-tempt God's Redeemer. All of this is to try to stop and block, but he cannot stop prophecy. He cannot stop the will of God. So the Bible says in verse 8, again, so you have to understand that the enemy is going to keep pressuring you and pressuring you. But this is where you have to be, even when you are in a weak state. You have to remember the scripture started off with he had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and he is hungry. So when anybody, I don't know about anybody else's family, but my family, when they hungry, they take on another whole, y'all know that little Snicker commercial? They take on a whole other identity. They take on a whole other identity when they are hungry. Why? Because it completely frustrates you. You got folks who are angry, and this is from the adults to the children. Listen, they got to eat. They have to eat because you're going to have to deal with them if they don't. All right? And so here all of these things are going on because you have to understand he's perfect God, he's perfect man. So he does hunger because he's also human. Okay? So verse 8 says, and again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Then he has the nerve to say unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Okay, I got to stop here. I have to stop here because you're showing Jesus who is the Son of God, which you acknowledge in the beginning of this text. And you want to question him by saying, if you are, you know who I am. That's why you're here. Mm-hmm. See, that's what you got to understand. The enemy knows who you are and whose you are. And when he knows who you are and whose you are, he's always going to come after you because you are a child of God. He's always going to come on the attack because of who you belong to. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the very fact, because I belong to God? It's just like in the presidency, whoever holds the presidency, they have armed guards, not only on their, not only on them, but on their family members, because an attack can come not only on the president, but the act or attack can come on those who are close to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, there is security around those who are in those high offices, because you want to make sure that their family is protected. Let me share with you. That's why you've got to understand the God we serve gives us the Word of God. He gives us understanding of the Word of God. Then he gives us protection of the angels of God around us. Why? Because they are our higher security guards. Wherever my feet tread there, you better believe that there's an angel of God who is watching over me and protecting me.
Amen.
Not just me, but those who are his.
Mm-hmm.
And because you are a child of God,
yes,
there is a hedge,
yes,
of protection that is around you. There are angels that are,
yes,
watching over you. Okay, let's look at this. He offers Jesus the kingdoms of the world. Watch this. And all the glory of them. Now you're offering me something that my God created.
Mm.
How are you going to offer me something that don't belong to you anyway? Because the Bible tells us that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. So how are you offering me something that belongs to my Father anyway? How are you going to tempt me with something that's already mine?
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's the problem is. The problem is we don't know what belongs to us as children of God. We've got to know what is ours. It's just like in our day and time now that we're going through. You've got to know your rights. When you get stopped, you got to know your rights.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
You got to know there are things that those who are in authority, who are coming to you, there are some things they can and cannot do. And you have to let the enemy know there's some things that you can try, but you cannot do. There's some things that you tried to take me out with, but it's not going to work because I already know what belongs to me. I already know what my Father has. I already know the benefits of my God. So therefore, you want me to look at all of the kingdoms. This is what he's offering him. Look at all the kingdoms of this world, not of the earth, but of the world, everything, and the glory of them. And he says unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, you have to understand, I will give it to you under this condition. I will only give it to you if I am the one you worship. Oh, my God. How many people have given over their life to worship the things of the enemy because of the offer he made? Watch this. And the offer he made looks good. The offer he made, I can work with. See, the enemy will offer you $500 million. He can offer you $1 billion. But the key word is, you've got to worship me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we find a lot of people who are in different things in life. They are using their gift in different things in life because they made a pact with the devil. They made a pact with the devil. What ended up happening is that they end up getting what he said. Watch this. But now they have to be a worshiper of him. Oh, my God. Let me tell you something. There is not enough that the enemy can offer to make me settle and leave my Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
See, because what I realize that this body is temporary. My body being on earth is temporary. And there are a lot of people who will give up this eternal life on a moment in time. This is what I'm talking about, making decisions based on your feelings. Because the enemy is not going to come to you and offer you billions of dollars when you're a billionaire. He's going to offer it to you when you're broke and can't feed your family. He's going to offer it to you when you don't have a house, car, and you're living out of a cardboard box. He's going to offer it to you when you're going from house to house, don't know where you're going to stay, and you're in shelter to shelter. That's when he's offering the at your lowest, weakest point. That's when the enemy comes in and offers you what you need.
Mm-hmm.
But do I receive it? Because the stipulation is I have to worship him. Yeah. But I already know where your future is. And if I'm a worshiper of you, your future then becomes my future. Right?
Amen.
So therefore, if I have God on my side, I've turned my life over to God, I already know what God has already stipulated is if I hook up with him, what my future will be.
Mm-hmm.
And he
Amen.
Already let me know that if my enemy, okay, God's enemy, he already let us know what his end result and future will be. I can't base my decision on my right now. I've got to base my decision on my future. Amen? And so, then Jesus says to him, after he makes this offer to him, Jesus says to him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thy
mm-hmm.
serve. See, now there's got to be come to a point in time. When you get to this place, I don't have time to talk to you no more, Satan. Get thee mm-hmm. hence behind me. In other words, it's time for you to go. Because this conversation
mm-hmm.
has gone out of control. This conversation is not benefiting my life. You tried
Amen.
With food. You tried with trying to get me to jump off a temple. You tried and took me to the highest mountain to offer me something that already belongs to me in the first place. And now you want me to worship you when I already know who I am, what I am, and even though I may be in a weak point in time, I'm not crazy enough.
Mm.
To leave what I have with God based on an offer you can't really give me.
Mm.
So Jesus says to him, it's time for you to go. You've got to know, people of God, when it's time for the enemy to go. It's time when
yes.
we get to the place where we understand it's time to rebuke the enemy out of
mm-hmm.
our life, out of our job, out of our children,
oh.
out of our minds, out of our spirit.
Oh.
It comes
yeah.
to a place where you have to say, Satan, it's time for you to go. I have no more time to give you and waste on this time when I could be having a conversation with my God who I do worship.
Yes.
He says, you got to go. The Bible says, watch this, when he tells him to leave, the next verse says, the next thing you see, then the devil leaveth him. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have the authority to tell the devil when to go.
Amen.
Jesus said, it's time for this, it's time for you to go. The Bible says, then the devil leaveth him. Watch this. This is the most important part that I love about this particular text. Because you've got to understand, when temptation comes, there's a draining that comes. There's an outpouring mm-hmm. that comes because you're physically, mentally weak. And you turned down every offer that would have helped you in some form or some way. But the Bible says, and behold, angels came to minister unto him.
Mm-hmm.
Angels came to replenish what he lost. Let me tell you something. Children of God, people of God, understand that God is not going to leave you out there open and not cover you.
Yes.
And not minister unto you. Because a lot of times what we need from God, is not readily available because there are some things that we have to go through in God to glorify God.
Amen.
And we don't like it. We don't understand it. But we have to see. God says, listen, I need to know that you trust me. You're not just here because of what I can give you. But you're here because you love me. If that's the case, God would have just said, all right, when I made man, I'm not going to give him choices. I'm not going to give him his own identity. I'm not going to give him the ability to do whatever he wants to do. Whenever we understand that whatever we do, it is the choice. I choose to serve God.
Yes.
I choose to serve God. Anything that I do in life that tempts me was my choice. I chose to do it because I had another choice. I didn't have to, but because I was tempted, Lord, I was tempted. Lord, I had to go through this. Lord, all these things were coming at me, and we made our decisions based on what was coming after us instead of what we know better to do. So you've got to understand that whenever you go through something like this in life, you've got to understand that it's time for you to get into a place where God can minister unto you. There's somebody right here on the phone right now who's going through something right now, being tempted with some kind of area, some offers, or whatever, some opportunity. You got to make sure that the opportunity that's being given to you is an opportunity that is given by God. And not make choices on the fact or basis of it's a good idea. Let me make sure that whatever decisions I make, that I'm doing it because I am walking in the path of God. I'm walking in this, like, listen, Lord. And I say to this is my thing I say to the Lord. If it's not for me, let it leave me.
Yes.
If this is not what I'm supposed to be in, if this is not what I'm supposed to have, take it away.
Yes.
Let's just do it early. I don't want to linger in this situation and find out that this is not what God wanted for me in the first place. That's why we have so many divorces and we got so many separations and broken families, because we did not consult God concerning our mate. Somebody may not like this, but the truth is that we did not consult God. Somebody said, well, the Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth the favor of the Lord. This is very true. But you've got to also sit down and have some discussions with the person that you're going to be in relationship with. We can't just make decisions on muscles and beauty and hair, because all of that stuff is removable. We're living in a day where everything is removable. And we think we have one thing and find out later that we were deceived. It was just like a situation with Rachel and Leah. Their father deceived Jacob. Listen, I thought I was getting one thing and got something else. You came up, got to the honeymoon and thought you got one thing and you got something else. So we've got to make our decisions based on the things that God, let me consult God. Let me find out if this is what God wants me to do. And not just move or based on decisions or my feelings. Because we have to realize that we are eye creatures. We look at a thing, we find beauty in a thing, and we grab it. And we say, oh, I know this is what God wants for me. No. Sometimes we got to realize that maybe God does not want that for you, because you got to realize that some things are attached to other things.
That's good.
That we did not see.
That's good.
We got to wake up, people of God. Everything that we grab for may be attached to something else or to someone else.
That's good.
And when we grab on to what we thought we were getting, we're not realizing that there's a whole train behind it that's hooked up to it. And you find yourself now dealing with a weight that is so easily besetting you because you thought you were getting one thing and you found that there were certain attachments to it. So I'm going to open up the line. Anybody that wants to share anything on today, if this has blessed your life at any point in any time, just you, if you want to pull out some things that really, really pinpointed something to you, or just share with somebody on the line that may just need to hear, that may be going through, that they can hold on. Get to the place where the angels of the Lord get to come and minister to you, because that's going to be such a place in your life where it's just rejuvenating for you. It's going to bless your life. Is there any, I'm going to open up the lines to anybody that is on the line that wants to share anything with us. Amen.
Amen. I think what comes to mind is a relationship with God. And with that relationship, we're able to make choices and to be obedient and follow God's direction. And Jesus Christ had a relationship with his Father and was obedient even when being tempted. He had a choice.
Mm-hmm.
We have a choice. That's the only way, by maintaining relationship with God through Jesus, we're able to, when we're faced with temptation, and we're faced with temptation almost every day, and sometimes the temptations are hidden, and we don't even realize we're being tempted. But anyway, God is our protector. He's got us covered, and we make the right decisions. And also aligning ourselves with people who God has selected to also provide some guidance and direction for us, who's on the correct page, following the correct scriptures, following God's word, that we stay in God's path. We don't make the wrong choice. We make the right choice. But we're ultimately going to make a choice. But by education and relationship with God, we'll make the right choice.
That's awesome. I just want to interject there. That is very key, man of God, because our relationships are what help us build us. And I don't think people really understand the importance of assembling ourselves together. And this is why this is another tactic of the enemy to keep people away from church. This is where your strength lies. When I see my sister and my brother come in and knowing that they may have gone through things in their life, when they show up to church, it's a testimony to me. And what that does is show me that, okay, God is still working. He's still a miracle worker. And we don't realize that we get strength from one another. Our relationships are very important. That is very, very key. That is very key. Is there somebody else? Amen. All right. So I want us to look over this word, and I want you to understand that there are some things that are going to come in life that you cannot alter down the road, okay? And so let me make my alterations beforehand. Whenever I have people who come into my life, I need to know from God that this person is supposed to be in my life and what's their purpose. See, because you got to realize that there's sometimes people come in your life and we think that they're in our life because, oh, they're a good friend. No, sometimes they're there to buffet us. Some of them are there to push us.
Amen.
All right? And and they start off one way. They start off one way as a friend, and then they end up being something else.
Yes.
And we have to realize that sometimes people are coming in our lives that don't mean us any good, but it pushes us into the next part of our destiny, because a lot of times we get stagnated and we won't move. We get very comfortable where we are. God said, I got more for you to do in ministry, and we don't do it because We have not allowed ourselves to be pushed. And so sometimes when your cheerleaders, the ones who are around you, that are your friends, that are supposed to push you, sometimes they get stagnated too. We've been in this situation. Mm-hmm. We've been in this battle together all these years. We've been thinking the same way, doing the thing same way. Sometimes somebody has to come in and ruffle our feathers.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we don't move until we're forced to move.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get upset by it, but guess what? You moved,
mm-hmm.
which you may have not done prior to if that person didn't show up in their life. So I thank God for people who come in my life who caused me, pushing me into my destiny. And sometimes the way they push me don't feel good. Sometimes the way they push me makes me hurt. Sometimes the way they push me makes me want to just break.
Amen.
But then I got an understanding that I cannot break. I can bend, but I will not break, because I realize that the assignment over my life has to be completed. And see, this is what God knew. This is what the Son of God knew. This assignment over my life has to be completed. So I have time to be jumping off of no temples and jumping off no cliffs, because I realize that my assignment has to be completed. I cannot worship anybody but the Lord God, because that's what he said, because my assignment has to be completed. And so you've got to understand, sometimes the tempter comes.
Mm-hmm.
The tempter comes to push you.
Mm.
And we call them haters nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
They come to push you. Otherwise, you would have never moved. You
Amen.
Would have stayed right there just comfortable doing nothing. Talking about, I'm doing the work of the Lord. No, you are doing what you've been doing, but nothing is changing because you're still mentally and physically weak. And that's what you got to understand, that God will get you to a place where you have to go through something where the angels of the Lord will have to come and minister unto you, and you get that power and authority back into you to make you shift and move even further into what God has for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to tell people of God today, you all have something that you need to do. My big sister, Pastor Sonia Mixon, came and preached for us on last Sunday. She gave us
mm-hmm.
and let us know that there's something that all of us have to do.
Yes.
And she talked about how everybody's after the fivefold ministry. He said that
mm-hmm.
he only gave that to some, not to all.
Mm-hmm.
He gave us all something that we could do.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
We mm-hmm. find out what is that thing that God has for us to do. And when
Amen.
We find out what God has for us to do, walk in that plan, stay in that plan, consult God, read the word of God, consult God, and offer some people that are going to benefit you but not benefit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Okay? So I've got to make sure that whatever is offered to me is going to be beneficial to me, not only me, but it's going to be beneficial to the kingdom of God. Anything that's going to keep me from the house of God, I got to reconsider.
That's
I can't
good.
Always be out of the house of God. We said, well, I got a job. The Lord blessed me with a job. Are you able to come to church on Sunday, every Sunday? Well, I can't come to church every Sunday. Matter of fact, I can't come no Sundays, but I'm going to send my tithes. No, baby, I need you to at least be able to make church every other Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you got to reconsider this offer. Is this offer trying to pull me away from the things of God, where I can come together and join with one another and fellowship with one another, get strength from one another, hear from the word of God, from the oracle of God, to strengthen me and empower me? Or am I just going to make the money and send my tithe? Oh, that's wonderful that you give your tithe, but you need your soul to be replenished and refreshed.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's
so that we can understand it's not just enough. Oh, I'm being a blessing to the house of God in one way. But do you not know that the house of God should be a blessing to you as well?
Amen.
In order for you to keep that job, you need to stay connected to God. They say, well, you know, I can't walk away from this right now because this is my benefit, this is my resources, where my blessings flow. Before I consult you, before I go into another job, I've got to consult God. If this job, first of all, when they say, first thing they say to me, that you got to work on Sundays, I say, oh, well, that's all right. You keep the job, because that's not something I can do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something I can do. I may not be able to make every weekday service, but you can't have my Sabbath. You can't have that. And you believe mm-hmm. other religions, they will not allow you to take that away. Mm-hmm. But watch this. The offer that's given unto us because we're in need, we will take it when other religions won't allow them to take that away from us.
Mm-hmm.
Or take that away from them. But we'll
mm-hmm.
take it. See,
mm-hmm.
you got to understand. They, you have to know. There's Friday. I'm getting ready to go. But there was a man. He was making an appointment when I was at my job. He says, I believe he's Muslim. And he says, I was trying to make an appointment for him on a Friday. He said, no. He said, Friday is my prayer day.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, I can't do anything on my prayer day. See, you got to understand there's certain days that belong to God that there's
mm-hmm.
no budging with.
Mm-hmm.
There's no compromise with.
That's right.
I've set aside this day to interact with my Lord, to worship my Lord. You don't get that day. You got a whole
mm-hmm.
bunch of other days that you can have, but this particular
mm-hmm.
time you cannot have because I have set that time aside to give to God. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
So I'm going to pass this back over to Elder Clay. I hope this blessed your life. I ask that y'all please, 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 sister, please, brother, keep Pastor Dawn in prayer. I need your prayers on tonight. There's so much going on. We're getting ready to enter into Holy Week. I want us to understand we're getting into enter into the Passion of Christ Week, and I want us to understand the importance of this week to the body of Christ. And so I ask that you
mm-hmm.
continue to pray for one another, pray for Pastor Dawn, and pray for those who are around you. Again, just send this word out to somebody that they may go into the archives and hear this word. God bless you, Elder Clay. I'm going to give it over to you to, that you can close us out and dismiss us.
Yeah. Amen. All I can say is that that you just brought a mighty word. Talking to
mm-hmm.
you earlier, you could just hear the power and the authority of God as you began to start to expound on his word. You became stronger and stronger the more you speak. So that is just a testimony of what God can do in our lives when we're weak and we're at our strongest. So I do thank you for the word that you shared with us, the teaching that you shared with us. And for those of you who are listening by internet, please pass this on to those that you know. Because I need to ask you, who's in your ear? Who's in your ear? God says, either you for me or you are against me. And
amen.
We want
amen.
You to be of the Lord. So I do thank you for the word. It was definitely a message for my spirit. You were definitely speaking to me. I don't know about everybody else, but I know that you was definitely
amen.
Speaking to me. And I do thank you for the word this evening. I do thank you. The mics are open. Any comments before we close out? Any comments? All
I
mics
just want to say I just want to say this was a powerful word. And what Pastor Dawn was saying about working on a Sunday or on your Sabbath, you know, just like Dr. Sonia said on Sunday, you know, everyone has something to do. So what happens if you're working that Sunday? What happens to the giftings that God has placed in us? You know, it gets, like Pastor Dawn said, it gets dormant or we don't even use them anymore because we've given up the birthright about coming together and being in the presence of the Lord and him, you know, bringing our gifts out so we can use it for the house of the Lord, so we can use it for the kingdom of God. You know, this was a real powerful message. I just wanted to say that.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Any more comments? Father, we thank you for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, we thank you for Pastor Dawn Mixon, Heavenly Father. We thank you for what you have given her to share with your people. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would bless her coming and her going. And Lord, Father, whatever she is sick with, Heavenly Father, we come against it in the name of Jesus. We come against it corporately, asking, Heavenly Father, that you would build her up in the areas where she's torn down and that you would strengthen her where she's weak. Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father, which you have just been such a magnificent God to us, and we just thank you. We ask, Heavenly Father, that we would take what she has shared with us and we would apply it to our lives. Father, we thank you for being first in our lives, and we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most.
Amen.
Amen.
For the young.